How many things have happened in my life where this path was presented to me and I had to pray and the Lord would show me, don't go that way.
So don't go that direction, which is silly nonsense, but you go in this direction, which is not.
No matter where he went, there was somebody or something trying to divert him off of that path.
So thank you for showing me that God is supernatural. And
brothers and sisters, this is just one of dozens of colorful illustrations of real people that I can think of in my ministry that have yielded to some temptation. The pre-trib rapture teachers all say being saved is so easy, and I get angry and confused.
Be mindful of the things that come into your path. Do not break trail. Don't get off on some...
Michael, please read this. I believe the Apostle Paul was a deceiver, and they were going right along with me for a time, and then some new sensational teaching, some titillating, you know, YouTube video pops up, or whatever it is, something happens to derail them, to get them off of the narrow path.
Every shepherd knows a sheep is the only animal in God's creation looking for the quickest way to die.
So a few weeks ago, I ran into a real trail pro out here. His name was Brant.
And then if you go to our left, in about half a mile,
okay,
and you'll walk under a ski lift over here.
Got it.
And we met up on the trail, shared a few words. I asked him about his trail hiking experience, and it turns out this guy at 37 years old had already done the Tahoe Rim Trail, 175 miles, three times. He had spent over a year of his life out here in tents. And I thought, wow, I've just met, you know, the highest level hiking pro I've ever met. And talking about me climbing on these mountains, he gave me a few tips. And there was snow still at the heights on a couple of these mountains around here. And at one point, he said to me, you'll lose the trail because of the snow. He said, but you can see where other people have punched through and you can follow their tracks so that you do not break trail.
So because it's now past Memorial Day, there's going to be hundreds of footprints if on
right
the snow
to follow
sections.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
You're not going to break trail anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It's just like, yeah, because everything's so slushy these days.
Yeah.
It's like,
when he said, don't break trail, it jumped out in my heart as, wow, that's exactly what Christians must be on guard against, is breaking trail, going a different route. And if I turn the camera around here for a minute, you can see that over here, I've come to basically what could be considered a crossroads. You see on my left, this beautiful, like verdant looking, gorgeous pathway on the right there, little clear trail marked out. And then it's just so beautiful. I mean, who wouldn't want to go that way? And then if you look over here on my right, you'll see another trail that looks kind of almost deserty. It's real sandy and dusty, not near as pretty as this trail right here. If I was like Lot or like Eve.
Genesis 3:6, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Job 31:7-8, if my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, then may others eat what I have sown, and may my crops be uprooted.
I mean, which of these trails would you choose? You'd probably definitely not choose this one. You and I would both say, wow, the prettier view is that way. That's gorgeous. We even get some shade. Let's go that way. That's the wrong way. That way could get me in real trouble, and it absolutely does not lead to the destination that I want to go to. I've had to get out my map at this crossroads and see that I have to go up this trail. This is something where there will be so many times in our life, as there has been in mine and many others, where an option is given to us, perhaps an open door, perhaps a beautiful trail like this one here is opened up to us. And not only will your flesh beckon you to go that way, but Satan will say, this is the better way. This is where the pleasing way is. It reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress and how no matter where he went, there was somebody or something trying to divert him off of that path.
I am on my way to the Celestial City by way of the gate, where I hope to get rid of this burden which is getting bigger by the hour.
Well, who told you you could get rid of that over there?
A good man that came upon me in my hour of need.
Evangelist, of course. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
What is it?
And you've already come all this way. Oh,
well,
dear, dear, dear.
What?
It's just that this evangelist, he's a little...
So, he's...
Yes, he is. Loony as a bird. The poor chap has his head in the clouds.
Oh, no.
So what on earth was this evangelist thinking, sending you in that direction, full of nothing but trouble and danger, which I can see by the scratches and the tears and the mud you have already experienced?
Look what he wrote. Such an exhausting way to live the Christian life. He's talking about me and all the drama in my life and all the living by faith and waiting on God and not taking decisions for myself and not making my own plans, not having my own self-determined life, but waiting on God and suffering, all that that means, suffering in the wilderness, if you will, going from sand dune to sand dune.
So don't go that direction, which is silly nonsense, but you go in this direction, which is not.
No matter where he went, there was somebody or something trying to divert him off of that path. And we have to be so absolutely careful. In the Bible, we are taught and we see that the righteous live by faith, not by sight. My sight tells me this is the way I should go. My sight tells me, why do I want to hike up that? You can't tell here, but this is very, very steep. Why would I want to go that way when this way, a little bit less steep, but look at how beautiful that is. I mean, that would be such a beautiful hike. I'm sure you'd agree.
Genesis 13, 10 through 11. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram.
But it does not lead to my final destination of fullness in Christ, to the summit of this mountain. So I have to be willing to deny myself, to deny my eyes, to not lean on my own human understanding. I can't tell you how many things have happened in my life where this path was presented to me, and I had to pray, and the Lord would show me, don't go that way, stay this way. This way is usually rougher, it's usually more ugly, it's usually more difficult, it usually takes longer, and that is the way of the Lord. So today, before we continue on, be mindful of the intersections that come into your life, jobs, people, relationships, ministry, YouTube videos.
Episode 130 from A Table in the Wilderness devotional. The pre-trib rapture teachers all say being saved is so easy, and I get angry and confused. Hello, brother. In the early days, when I was coming out of this false prosperity gospel and this charismatic movement, your message was very strong about sin and rebellion. And I just wanted to ask you a question. I noticed, particularly in Christianity on YouTube, from America, there's a wide group of people at the moment getting prepared to be raptured away. They are rapture ready, and they say salvation is easy, and all you have to do is believe the good news. They don't believe in the lordship gospel you preach. They say if you live holy, it is a works gospel.
So don't go that direction, which is silly nonsense, but you go in this direction, which is not.
Michael, we have returned to a much simpler faith, like a faith that is really founded on theology and the Word of God and...
God. But, no but, do not argue with me, you listen. So, you keep going that way... good boy. You keep going that way and do not stop. No matter what things begin to look like, just go in the direction I tell you until you get to a village called Morality.
Episode 117 from A Table in the Wilderness, where American Torah commented on one of my videos, how do you interpret disobeying God's Torah as being submissive? All Christians who turn back to the Torah are breaking trail.
There you will find the hill. You will know you're at the hill because the signs will tell you.
I remember about 17 years ago, I walked up to my front door in Orlando, Florida, and there was a book folded in between the doorknob and the doorframe. And I opened it up and it said The Sunday Law. And I eventually started to read it to see what it was. And I became terrified.
There, not at that silly gate you were telling me about, you will be told how to get rid of that ugly thing.
There are those who will come in and try to spy on this freedom in your life. Like for me, you can't imagine how many false brothers and sisters. I'm sure some of them are deceived and some of them are deceivers. Tares among the wheat, Ishmaels among the Isaacs. And they try to say, Mike, you got to observe these laws of Moses. You got to observe Leviticus 23. You got to start eating certain foods. You got to start honoring the Sabbath. I've received letters from people about this.
Acts 15:5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. Acts 15:10. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? Galatians 2, 4-5. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Table in the Wilderness, episode 136. My husband, a pastor, has rejected Jesus Christ. Her husband, a former drug addict who became a fervent pastor, ministering to drug addicts for 8 years and seeing miracles, began to doubt his Christian faith after listening to Jewish teachings. This is Breaking Trail.
Be mindful of the things that come into your path. Do not break trail. Don't get off on some ism.
From an episode of the devotional Table in the Wilderness, number 74, Vicky says, Michael, please read this. I believe the Apostle Paul was a deceiver. I didn't choose to question Paul. I just became troubled in my spirit and began searching for answers. I'm reading this book titled, This is Breaking Trail. A few years ago, I made the clip that I'm about to show you, and I've never shown it to anybody, I don't believe, until now. And it will hopefully serve as a shocking illustration to put the fear of God in all of us. There was a woman named Heather who joined what we had at the time, a group called RHF, Relentless Heart Family. So soon after I took down all of my videos at the Lord's command on the first YouTube channel, we tried to start a private community where people could connect from all over the place that had been following the ministry who felt isolated and alone. One of the biggest problems we found in doing this, which is why we didn't do it much beyond about 9 months or so, was that we had to police it so much and kind of control so much of what people were sharing inside the platform, where they were bringing, if you will, broken trail paths that they themselves had taken, and they were trying to bring it into the group. And you know, you want people to be able to share, you want people to be able to, you know, express their passion, you know, what they're interested in learning, what they found, what they discovered. The problem, as you can imagine, becomes when people bring things in that are dangerous, things that literally are an attempt to lead people off of the narrow path and have them break trail. One such instance happened with a lady named Heather Zibiotti. And Heather had followed the channel for a number of years. She had come out of a Kenneth Copeland background where she was really totally disoriented about what true Christianity looked like. And she found my channel. She was very thankful for it, which I'm going to show you. But what ended up happening is that she brought oneness theology into this RHF platform. And I received an email from our moderators at the time who said they were deeply concerned about what they were seeing. So we reached out, Lisa and I did, and made a message to warn her that she was going down a bad road. She needed to turn away from this and repent from this thinking and definitely not come and bring this into the people at the RHF family. And brothers and sisters, this is just one of dozens of colorful illustrations of real people that I can think of in my ministry that have yielded to some temptation. They were going right along with me for a time, and then some new sensational teaching, some titillating, you know, YouTube video pops up or whatever it is. Something happens to derail them, to get them off of the narrow path. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. In a somewhat extended life in ministry, again and again, I have seen dear people of God who were out in the open, going on with the Lord in the liberty of the Spirit with great promise, and then they've been caught up in some ism. They simply are helpless to escape themselves from the tenets of that ism. Again and again, I've seen it. Tragedy. And you just can't get anywhere with these people once they've got it. But I have known them. Oh, so promising, and then this thing has come subtly along their way, attractive and fascinating, so appealing. The people who have taken them on, you can get no further, no further. They have lost the great ground, the vast ground of God's full purposes for this dispensation, and become stuck on some thing that is only partial at best, arrested, like Judaism, come to a standstill or going around and around in a circle, the circle of this particular thing. It should be a warning to us because, you see, this is the thing that has been the enemy of the fullness of Christ all through the centuries, this sort of thing. Austin Sparks from The Cross of Our Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 5. Let me be really clear. Before I've corrected anybody in this ministry, I've corrected myself, and I still continue to do so, both myself and my wife. You know, we are not better than anyone we've ever ministered to in this ministry. Better off? Maybe. Better than in ourselves? No. So we point the repentance gun at ourselves first. And one of the things I've seen is that when I've tried to correct people, when Satan whispers in their heart and holds them fast in bondage to whatever it is they don't want to let go of, they never remain neutral. They almost always turn in an instance against us. And then suddenly it becomes that I have become unloving. I've become prideful. I've become judgmental. I have changed. I have violated the, you know, commands of God in some way. And I've always maintained, and a few of you have even, you know, testified in the comment section when I mentioned it before, that you've been following the ministry for years and you've seen that I haven't changed. I haven't changed. Brothers and sisters, I can show you clips from, you know, 14 years ago in 2011. In fact, I'll put one in here and you'll see that the same Michael preaching, the same thing coming out of my mouth then is what comes out of my mouth today. Take a look. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. How do we know him? If we obey his commands. Something that you can see evidence as to whether or not you really know God or do you just know about him. And why am I saying this with such conviction? So what's so interesting is that after I have asked people to repent, they then turn against me, just like they did any person who's ever preached repentance. It's one of the most difficult things of being a minister. If you're called to preach repentance, people are going to hate you, right? But then they turn and say, I've changed. But what I find is if they could only see themselves, if they could see what they look like in the email or in the video or the actions that they've taken against me. And some people, like Heather actually went to my ex-spouse, Carrie, and wrote some really derogatory things about me to be included in a letter that Carrie was producing for the court to hold me in contempt. And a few of these people that found Carrie under the Taylor video that I had rebuked and told to repent actually turned so much against me, changed so much that they began to write letters or make videos in the instance that you're going to see. So I want you to take a look at this, and I want you to see how much this person changed between the person. Again, I haven't changed. I'm still preaching the exact same thing. But take a look at this person's own testimony and then look at what happened when they were rebuked. So the second clip, the changed portion of this clip, is what you'll see happen to this person after Lisa and I sent her a message telling her she needed to repent from this. And if she didn't turn away from this oneness theology, satanic, heretical, false gospel, and stop spreading it in the RHF platform, that we were going to basically kick her out and remove her. So we gave her a warning, and then we sent it out to everybody to tell people this is not the truth. But take a look. This was the response. Initially, we received an email to our rebuke that said, you know, God is on the move. I've listened to your message. Thank you for sending. You know, God is on the move. And we all thought maybe that this was going to, you know, wake her up and she'd repent. Unfortunately, the response we ended up getting a few days later was shocking, which ultimately culminated now in this clip. Take a look. This is what happens, brothers and sisters. Take note of the difference in spirit between the before Heather and the after Heather. These video clips are 3 years apart.
I do remember praying to God, asking him to show me just one man that actually lives what he believes. So, and there you were. So you are an answer to prayer.
Okay, I just want to pause right there. Notice she testifies with her own mouth that she prayed. She had never heard of me before. She has been in such confusion from the Kenneth Copeland prosperity gospel. She prays and asks God, please show me somebody who's living it, somebody who's actually walking in truth. And she testifies, God led her to me. Okay, so God answers her prayer and leads her to me. So now listen.
This video is about my repentance to my spiritual overlord, one Michael Criswell, that forever shall be ever named by me as MC Scammer. It's kind of funny. If you're from my generation, MC Scammer, Michael Criswell, he's a scammer. Can't touch this. The Lord Jesus saved me from a false lying faith. So again, my greatest fear was falling out of the frying pan and into the fire.
And I can't even tell you how shocking of a statement that is when you see what happened to this sister who I really cared deeply for. Incidentally, you'll notice on the screen, I was mentioning that Taylor in Matthew 24:11 and also Heather, they all came out of these false, dangerous, counterfeit Christian institutions, and God led them to the ministry. So you can see here, she's saying, I'm afraid of jumping from, you know, the frying pan into the fire and being led off the path. And this is exactly what ends up happening to her. Take a look. And again, these other clips are 3 years later.
So I needed somebody to show me that what I'm learning in the Bible is truly correct. So, and there you were. So you are an answer to prayer.
And now, I will answer your question in all truth. What happened to that stupid little fool that ignorantly massaged your ego all those years ago?
This is a question that I asked her when we rebuked her for this oneness theology that she was spreading in RHF. I told her the story of these two women, the woman who had cried with such tears that you'll see in a minute, to now becoming this hard, cold person beginning to turn against us. And so this is her explanation.
That he does do miraculous things.
I would like to let you know that I was led away into an online church cult. I know, it's crazy.
Can you see there's a totally different spirit now behind this person? Brothers and sisters, this stuff is so unbelievably serious. The Bible is so true. God's word cannot fail to produce what it was sent to do, both in blessing and in warning. A man or woman reaps what they sow. This is a shocking thing to see. All because a person was corrected and in a moment of pride, instead of listening to the counsel of not just myself, but the elders, the spiritually mature believers in the RHF platform that came to me to tell me, Michael, this is being spread in the platform. This person ignored, and now this is the result. Look at this.
Even though there are those who lie and try to make themselves out to be hearers of God when they're not. So thank you for showing me that God is supernatural. And I mean, I know He is, but to see Him work.
She has finally seen you for what you are, a false prophet and a hypocrite hiding behind a thin veil of light, a coward that desires a worshipful and obedient following. And if anyone dares to question you, you call them a 666 Satan.
I do remember praying to God, asking Him to show me just one man that actually lives what he believes.
The reason I'm showing that clip again is because she's now going to say that God leads her to one of the most foolish human beings I've ever seen that has come to attack this ministry, Matthew 24:11. So take a look at this.
In the time I've spent on my knees searching the face of my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, regarding you, I happened upon Matthew 24:11. I'm sure you're familiar with his channel. And in one of his expose videos, he posted where you said you have never met anyone that loves God more than you.
Say what?
I'm going to admit, I actually heard the pride in that boast, just despite your feigned humility. You are such a hypocrite, Michael.
So I'm asking you, can you possibly imagine the Spirit of Jesus Christ making a video like this? If you look at these things, the fruit in these things is just completely contradictory to the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. We all can make mistakes, but these are not mistakes. This is where another spirit has taken over. And, you know, she had no idea when she made this video that God was going to expose Matthew 24:11, who at this time, she didn't even know who that was. So many people come and hide behind some anonymous YouTube channel, not giving their name, not putting their face. They're total cowards and come out having no evidence in their own life, no testimony, no public ministry, no public witness that God is with them. And they'll make these videos because they themselves have been rebuked and refuse to repent. This happens over and over and over again, but I'm going to be forced to now just to show you how deplorable this is. I want you to see who she now claims, after having prayed with that humility, that broken and contrite heart you saw in the first clip. She says, God led her to me. Now she claims, after we rebuked her, right, about the oneness theology, and she sought God's face, God leads her to Matthew 24:11. Let me show you who she believes, just like Taylor, who neither one of them knew who he was because he at that time remained nameless, faceless. Take a look at who they believe the Spirit led them to.
Hey, a forehead. Shit on the floor. Holy crap. Holy crap. Shit, look. You only have choices. Holy crap.
Keep dumb.
Oh, I'm so freaking bored.
And there is a channel out there that is actually one of the channels that gave me confidence to sit down and make this video. And they handle this discernment part far better than I do. Like, the person who made the channel obviously has a gift with discernment.
Searching the face of my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, regarding you, I happened upon Matthew 24:11. I'm sure you're familiar with his channel.
Brothers and sisters, can you see how dangerous it is if you get off and you break trail. And even if somebody yells back at you, no, don't go that way. If you persist, God will turn you over to madness of mind. God will turn you over to believe the lie. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but I can never fail to see these clips, to remember these stories, and not have a tremendous fear of God come upon me. I point this at Lisa and I first, but right now I'm pointing it at you as a reminder. Please be careful about Satan's clever tactics to get you in pride to resist the truth, to refuse a rebuke, to stay stubborn and head off breaking trail in a place that will never lead you to life in Christ. For those who, like the New Testament writers, have a real burden and sense of responsibility for the spiritual life of God's people, one of the most heartbreaking things is the way in which so many who gave promise of going right on with the Lord are caught in some sidetrack and turn to something other or less than He meant for them. Not necessarily to sin or even to the world, but to something which, while it brings them a great deal of gratification for a time, eventually proves to be a diversion resulting in arrested spiritual growth. And they are found in a backwater, in a cul-de-sac, occupied with an alternative to the whole counsel of God. Their, quote, new discovery or light or guidance, as they speak of it, when the novelty and glamour have worn off, is found to have been deceitful waters, producing Jericho's fruits, which fall before they are ripe. The peril or snare will be cunningly and ingeniously adapted to the, quote, prey. What would capture some would make no appeal to others. The most spiritual will be presented with what appears to be most spiritual. Our particular temperament will be our peculiar danger. We shall have to ever and always be governed by principle and not by feelings, preferences, arguments, or natural appeal. Intellectual palliatives, emotional ecstasies, activity gratifications must be suspected or challenged. The one question must be paramount. Where does this lead? Does it essentially and intrinsically relate to the one supreme purpose of God? There's another costly temptation here that we must be on guard against. Perhaps you've seen a few of those funny videos of sheep doing something dumb that got them into trouble, and you had a good laugh.
Here, you want to know why they say sheep are stupid? Right there. He's wedged himself all the way back here, and now he can't stand up, and he's stuck. What do you have to say for yourself?
It's easy to look down on those pathetic animals, amazed at how stupid and dumb they are. But as Christians, we need a humbling reminder that God likens all of us to being those dumb sheep. Isaiah 53:6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The word sheep appears 47 times in the New Covenant, with nearly all mentions being a metaphor for we believers in Jesus Christ. Lisa and I were watching a show about how hard life was in the Victorian age when we heard this striking statement by a sheep expert.
Richard Spencer, a sheep farmer of 40 years' experience, has come to give some much-needed advice to the novice shepherds.
One thing you have to remember, you guys, when you're sort of getting settled down with this flock of sheep, every shepherd knows a sheep is the only animal in God's creation looking for the quickest way to die. You can do everything right, are you? You can do everything right, and you can all go pear-shaped.
I was inclined to believe that maybe he was being a little dramatic until I saw videos for myself like this.
Come on, Baba. Wiki wiki. Mama's done that.
The connection between the Bible's depiction of us as sheep and all the videos which show just how dumb sheep can be provide a humbling and sober reminder of how dangerous it is to be a true Christian. And the tens of thousands of trouble-filled emails I've received over the years show just how serious of a problem this is. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The two videos which resonated the most with what I've experienced in my own walk as a Christian first, and then as a minister, were the ones where a sheep did something really dumb and life-threatening, and then after it was rescued, it returned right back into the life-threatening ditch that it was rescued from. We all have ditches that we can be tempted to jump back into, which have consequences, which range from simply robbing us of peace all the way up to and including spiritual death. To one, the ditch they return to is sexual sin. To another, complaining, anger, or unforgiveness. To another, unbelief. To another, intellectual stimulation. To another, bad eating or sleeping habits. To another, unbelief. To another, intellectual stimulation. To another, bad eating or sleeping habits. To another, love of money. To another, worry. To another, end times or doomsday videos. To another, vanity, pride, or worldliness. To another, the opinions of others. To another, legalism. To another, wasting time. To another, the injustices around the world. To another, news, politics, or conspiracy theories. To another, burdens of compassion the Lord has not asked them to personally carry. To another, fill in the blank. We cannot deny being his dumb sheep in need of correction, but let us fearfully heed that correction and avoid going back to those ditches, lest he begin calling us dogs or pigs. 2 Peter 2:22, of them the proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Lisa and I have seen this temptation in our own sheep nature, and although our ditches have changed over the many years, we must still be careful to avoid the temptation by the power of His Spirit, to not return to any ditch He has rescued us out of or told us to avoid, lest the time comes when He says, enough is enough. Psalm 85:8. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for He speaks peace to His faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. John 10:2-7. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep.
Don't get distracted away from your trail. Possess your trail and the summit with a holy Matthew 11:12 violence. Do not be like my second spouse, who once pure and sincere in devotion to Christ, when she couldn't find certain answers to match up with her family history in the Bible and she got frustrated, she took another trail. And she said, ah, look at this birth order. Ah, look at this. All these family psychological dynamics. Ah, look at this introvert, extrovert. Ah, look at this horoscopes. Until eventually she got so far up there, she was reading about Bhagavad Gita and all this other crazy Eastern mysticism. Satan derailed her off of the path that we're going this way. Don't let it happen to you. Do not break trail. Let's go. you're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.